anything can happen. No, I know. But if you play a minute, I'll try. I'm waiting to see if they work. No, I just want you to play something. It's totally up to you. All right, we'll get started this evening. Do remember to pray one for another. Let's remember to lift up those that are sick, those that have lost loved ones. And then let's remember to lift up those that are lost and those of our loved ones who are lost. And we'll reach out. We'll actually do some good, I promise. I know this for a fact tonight. You cannot grow the church if nobody gets saved. The church is the size that it is based upon those who have accepted Christ, not those upon who's in a building. And so if nobody's getting saved, the church of God is not growing. And so we need to do our part to see that the church grows. I'm trying to get all my papers together here. What did I do? All right. When you get your prayer list mixed in with your Bible verses, and then you try to sort the three out, all right? So do remember Sister Donna Faye, Brother Jerry, still doing his treatments. Also, Sister Kay said that they lost their caregiver, so I ask that you remember that. Sister Reba sent us a message telling us that their church is looking for a pastor, and be praying for that. If you know somebody, let us know. We can get in touch with them, and they can get their number. So remember that in your prayers. Remember Netta's family. And then also remember my brother-in-law, Scott, and my sister, Darlene, and then Trina Walker. Anybody else this evening by name? All right, if not, then stand with us tonight. I know we've all got lost loved ones and unspoken requests, and we'll be praying for them. Father, this evening, Lord, we pray. Dear God, give us the strength and guidance that we need. Lord, draw us close to you. Draw us close one to another. Precious God, I pray tonight that you'd meet the needs according to your will, your plan, and your purpose for our lives. Help us, Father, to accept that and honor that, precious God. Lord, we ask you tonight that you just touch the needs present and unknown, dear God. Father, we pray, bless the service, Lord. Let it be for the uplifting of thy kingdom and thy name. And Lord, we just pray tonight, Father, again, help us to grow in love with thee, dear God, and show that to others around about us, Lord. Father, the lost would be saved, the backslidden return, and everyone would draw closer. And we'll give you glory for it, Father, in Jesus' holy name. And amen. Amen. I'll get out of your way here.
You're fine. Let's go ahead and start with page 94 in the blue book. Page 94. Page 52. Amen. Go ahead and get your red book now and turn to page 52 in your red book. Flip to page 59. Page 59.
G. B flat. Oh. B flat.
Come, let
Do we have any specials this evening?
Same. 649 in the river. Oh, that one?
Lord's counting on you and I tonight. When you think about this, I wished I could say that I've never failed Him, but I know that I have. But I can say He's never failed me. And there's a great big difference right there. The Bible tells us that flesh and blood cannot inherit heaven. And I'm thankful to that tonight, because this body of failure, I'd hate to think that I had to live with it for all eternity. You know, it's a time that we have it right now. But personally, I'm looking forward to the day that I don't have to worry any longer about this body. But while I'm here, I know this, that if my faith and my trust is in the Lord, amen, I'm blessed. Amen. And that's a great big difference right there. So if you got your Bibles, go with us to the book of Psalms, the first chapter. We're going to spend some time in the book of Psalms tonight. I'll just say this. We end, it's kind of interesting, this morning we were always in Psalms outside of a few scriptures. We ended in Proverbs. Tonight we'll be always in Psalms until we get to Jeremiah. And you can spend a lot of time in the Old Testament learning things that need to be done. I know that we talk about how that we are the New Testament church, and you've heard me say this. Without the Old Testament, the New Testament wouldn't mean a thing. Because without the predictions and the prophecies of Jesus Christ, His coming, His life, and the things that would transpire, we'd be hard-pressed to believe that it actually happened in that way. But it was told throughout the Scriptures that would be, and that's where it is. So if you have your Bibles, open with us to the book of Psalms. Stand with us tonight as we read. And we'll just read a few verses of Scripture here. It's only six verses. We'll read all of them, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. It said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Father, tonight we thank You again, Lord, for Your love, Your mercy and grace. Thank You, dear God, for the many blessings You give us. Ask You, dear Lord, help us to do Thy will, to praise, worship, and honor, and glorify Thy name. And Lord, I just pray tonight that Your will be accomplished in our lives as we gather here this evening. And we'll give You glory for it tonight, Father, in Jesus' holy name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated this evening. I want you to think about this. And I know this. That if you think about this passage of Scripture here, this one chapter, it's a perfect depiction of Jesus Christ, and that His ability was, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Now, I'll say this, Jesus never walked in the counsel of the ungodly, but you and I at some point in time in our lives have. And we've listened to Him. He said, "Nor sitteth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And I'll tell you what, I've stood in the way with sinners, and I hope and pray today I stand in the way of sinners, so that they would understand and see the picture of God. But then He said, "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." I've been kind of mean in my lifetime at times. And so I know this, Jesus, in all that He did, even in His chastisement, He did with absolute love and nothing less. And you and I, we've done what we've done out of meanness sometimes and the hatred, possibly. You know, I don't know your hearts, if you've ever hated anybody, but I'll just say this. There was a time in my life when I did. I hated And I mean, when I hated, you just mentioned the name of a person, and I'll tell you what, my skin would crawl, my demeanor would change, and just everything about me, all my cells and my skin would start to suck up. And just, I mean, just that way, I was so bitter. But today I'm not, and I praise God for that. But Jesus never did. But he said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And there is nobody that meditates in the Word of God better than Jesus did. But that's our picture that we're supposed to do. It's like I was saying on Wednesday night, and I said again this morning, you know what? I tell you what, that song, My God is Faithful, is just going over and over and over and over and over in my mind. No matter what seems to come about, I start to get troubled or something happens, and the next thing I know, I'm thinking that thought there, and I'm singing that chorus that My God is Faithful, because my God is a faithful church. I want to tell you something tonight. How do I know that I'm a blessed man? I have a faithful God. And I know that tonight because when the world seems to be going one way and it's just falling apart in some aspect, God is right there holding me up, keeping me, making sure that I can see His picture and see what He's got. I'll tell you this too. The world doesn't necessarily have to be falling apart, but Satan can paint you a picture of a falling apart world. And if you're not careful, you get caught up in what he's painting instead of what God is doing. And I'll just say to you tonight, we've got to be mindful of that very thing there. But he meditates, and if we'll meditate in the Word of God, and we'll do so willingly. And let me just say this. The more the words you read, the more the words you have to meditate upon, the more the things of God that you can understand and see what God is trying to do and what God will do. And so his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditate day and night. And then it said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. And I know this for a fact tonight, that God said that His word would not return unto him void. And so you think about what happens when you live the way that God would have you to live and you do the things God would have you to do. You'll find out in that doing this that whatever God is desiring to accomplish, God will. And his word goes out and accomplishes. And I'll say this tonight. We ought to share the word of God more than that we do. If we would spend more time sharing God's word and less time sharing our criticisms, or our skepticism, or our doubts, or our fears, friend, we'd be better off. And I'll just say it again, friend, because I know this is me. If we spend more time sharing the Word of God with people than we would our hunting stories, or our fishing stories, or our camping stories, or our shopping stories, or our story stories, we would accomplish a lot more in life, because we would be getting out the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around us. And I know tonight that if I share more of God, then more of God's getting out there into a lost and dying world. And God is having an influence there, regardless of what we think. Sometimes we think, boy, that didn't do any good. That didn't help out anyway. That just made them mad or whatever. Hey, listen to me. If they get mad because of what you shared with them, what really happened is conviction came. If you make them shush up, what's happening there is they're thinking about what's being said. But if they're a brother or sister in Christ, you may have just lifted them up so that they can not only see that God is true and real and working in their life, but they would have the testimony that says, when I was down, God lifted me up. When I was in question, God brought an answer. When I was in doubts and fear, God showed me the truth. It's one of those things there tonight, church. If we would just be the example that God would have us to be, we would be a blessing to those around us. So blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Remember, we read that this morning. Blessed is the man. And I don't know if I can find that one right off there. I think I read it though. But blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord. And then he goes on and we'll say, the ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff with the wind driveth away. I'm going to say tonight, just stand your ground. Stand your ground. God knows how to get rid of those around you that's going to be problematic. God knows how to hold you up. I thought about it this way. And I'll tell you what, fall comes around every year. It's been that way ever since I've been born. Fall comes around every year. Now, we wonder about winter time, the way things are. But you know, fall comes around every year. The leaves start to fall off the tree. And you want to know what the wicked are like? Just go out into your front yard and watch your tree or maybe your neighbor's tree and watch the wind drive the leaves away. They always end up somewhere else, and they never stay there very long before one of two things happen. They're either blown to another place, or they're raked up, chopped up, and burned up. And that's the way it happens there. You know, we look at things. The wicked are just like that. They're not going to be around forever. Friend, there's going to be a time when things are going to happen. They're going to be separated out. But this, think about this. The tree is still there, right? The tree goes through seasons, but the tree is still there. And the production of that tree is there. So the ungodly are not so. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So what is blessed? A man that doth the will of God. In Psalms chapter 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sins is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no gall. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'll just say this. If you've been born again, if you've come here tonight and you know that your sins is underneath the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible just said you're blessed. Hey, when you're blessed, you ought to say amen. There ought to be something done in our lives about being blessed, should there not? I mean, you just saw me think about it this evening. I was thinking this morning as Mariah was singing the song, He Knows My Name. And I tell you something, I'm so glad that God knows my name. And it's not because of how bad I am. He knew my name before I was ever born. But let me just say, He knows my name, and it wasn't because I was so bad that I come up on the naughty list. It wasn't because I was so bad that I made it finally got high enough up that he was paying attention. Rather this, that God knew that I was going to be a lost person. He knew that I was going to need salvation. And so God said to this, I know your name, Ernie. How do I know your name? Because I can remember the day that I was sitting there in the pew and God said to me, Ernie, you need to be saved. And I'm going to tell you something, church. Some people say, well, God don't talk like that. I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Ghost got a hold of me that morning on Sunday morning, he said to me, Ernie, you need to be saved. And I'll tell you, that's when I got saved. That's when I gave my heart to the Lord. It took that thing there. And so I know tonight, beyond the shadow of doubt, the Bible says, blessed is the man whose transgressions is forgiven and whose sin is covered. And that means to me, I'm blessed tonight. And if you're in the same boat, you're blessed tonight. And the Bible says, blessed is the man unto whom God and putteth no iniquity, and who the Spirit of God, whose spirit there is no gall. I wish tonight that I would get to that spot there where there will be never no gall in my mouth, never no ill feelings or thoughts there. How about, listen to me, then you go on to the 33rd chapter in the 12th verse. He said this, and I'm going to tell you something tonight, church. If you don't believe that God has a plan and a purpose for our nation, I'll read some scripture out there, because God had a plan for every nation created on the day that he created the world. He knew exactly who all was going to be around. He knew the countries that would be here. But this says in verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And you say, God bless America. I say it again. God will bless America when America turns to God. There was a time when the blessing of God was on America because they served God more than anything else. Their people put their faith and trust in God. Friend, and I'll say it this way, they had to. They didn't have what we have today. There wasn't a whole lot going on. The preacher at the funeral on Friday was talking about poverty when Uncle Max was born. And he said when Max was born in 1943, poverty was all over the country. It didn't matter where you was. There was people in poverty everywhere. And in Newton County, it didn't matter if you was rich or poor, you was still in poverty. The richest person in Newton County had poverty because there wasn't nothing there in Newton County at the time. He said, today's poverty, you can have a $1,000 cell phone. You can be watching cable TV. You can order pizza on that phone. I can't remember. He said something else there. And you're considered considered to be in poverty. How about in 1943, poverty meant you didn't know if you was going to have another meal. How poverty meant you didn't know where that meal was coming from. And today, I'm here to tell you, church, we don't know what poverty is like in the financial side of things for they'll probably say 99% of the people alive in this country today. But there's a poverty in this country we don't understand, and that's the poverty of the Holy Ghost of God on the lives of people. That's the poverty of hearing the Word of God throughout this church country. A lot of folks don't know what it is to sit into the house of God and hear the gospel preached unto them, to be told that they're sinners and they need to be saved, to be told that they got sin in their life they need to repent of, to be told that they ought to be testifying and talking about Jesus Christ, not just how wonderful He is, but that fact that He's coming one day. When He comes back, He's going to judge a lost and dying world there. So blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people in whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. Now I'll say this to you, friend. I'm glad that I know what the New Testament says, because right there He says this, and the people in whom He has chosen for His inheritance, that's the children of Israel. That's the Jewish people that He brought out of bondage out of the land of Egypt. But I'm so glad I found in the New Testament there, Jesus said He is not a Jew that is one outwardly, but rather He is one that is one inwardly, not the circumcision of the flesh, but the circumcision of the heart. I'm glad tonight that when God wrote the scripture, He knew exactly what was going to be said, because that means, again, I'm blessed. Yes. I'm blessed. And then Psalms chapter 34. I believe I covered the whole thing on that one too. I'll just turn over here and read to you. Nope, I didn't. Psalms chapter 34. Starting in verse 1, we'll read down to verse 11. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Church, get that one in your life and make a difference. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's hard to be sad when you're praising God. I'm just going to tell you. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. In other words, when I talk about what good is going on in my life, it's going to be what good God is doing in my life. Because when I talk about that, a friend, I can make somebody else happy. And then He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Church, listen to me tonight. Do you realize we'd be better off if we all magnified the Lord God together? You ever thought about how wonderful it sounds? And I'll just say this. Whenever when I'm leading song service, and then I get that old slobbered up mouth there where I got to stop and take a swallow there, a friend, and I can't hear or can't sing because of it, I'm glad to hear other people singing. But let me just say this. You don't disturb me when I'm preaching and you're amening. Rather, it just feeds me. It feels good. It's wonderful to know that you're listening close enough, that you got something going on in your heart that you're agreeing with. How about this too? When we sing and we testify and we glorify God, friend, it makes a wonderful thing there. So He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. It's a wonderful thing. Let me say this. If we'll do it together, people will see and they'll understand that there's a place in Fort Smith, Arkansas that wants to worship and serve the Lord, wants to glorify His name, wants to praise Him, wants to honor Him, wants to make sure that He's the center point, He's the focus point. Listen to me tonight, church. I don't want anybody, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, I don't want anybody to say, you got to go over to Brother Ernie's church. You ought to go down there to Brother Ernie's church. Hey, if it's my church, that means it's not God's church. But if you want to say you need to go over there where Brother Herney is, or you need to go over there where Sister Donna or Sister Barbara is, or Sister Joy, you want to say you want to go there where Brother Zach is, or any of the brothers here, and friend, let me tell you, that means something about our church. It means that our church belongs to God. We're just part of the body there. Friend, it shouldn't belong to any one person. It should belong to the Lord. And so when we stop to think about that, He said, let us exalt His name together. If we'll do that together, God will bless us together. God will comfort us together. God will strengthen us together. together. In verse 4, he said, I sought the Lord and he heard me. I'm glad this morning or this evening to know that when I call on God, God hears me. Again, remember what I said this morning? How can you trust in a God who never knowed anything about you? Why would you trust in a God if you called on him? He wasn't there to answer. Have a friend, because I called on him, I sought him, he heard me, he delivered me, the Bible says, from all my fears. I'm going to tell you something tonight, church. I had a battle of fear last Thursday that just, it was something just horrible and terrible in my life, and I won't go into it. Lynette knows about it. But let me just say, I heard from morning to, up through the evening time. It was just in me. And I'm just telling you tonight, God knew all about that. God knew how to take care of it. God knew what the answers was. I trusted in him all day long. And God just showed me that my fear was not real. It was not right. But friend, I'm just here to tell you tonight, when you put your faith and your trust in God, he'll deliver you out of your fears. He said they looked unto him and he was lightened. Friend, you can't get a better light than his. Their faces were not ashamed. I'm not ashamed, like Paul said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I'm so glad for that tonight. He said the poor man cried and the Lord heard him. I'm glad God doesn't have a standard that you got to be so rich that you can't cry before you can cry unto him. But I'm glad the poor man can cry and the Lord hear him, because we get it in the scripture there. The publican stood afar off, the Bible says, and smote himself upon the breast, would not so much as lift his eyes toward heaven, but said, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I'm a sinner. And the Bible tells us that that man went down to his house justified, while the man who thought he was all high and mighty and great and wonderful stood about and said, God, I'm glad I'm not like the rest of them. Hey, Kirch, can I tell you something? I'm glad tonight that I'm not like the lost world without Jesus, but I'm also glad tonight to know this, that while I don't have it all, I've got a God who does have it all, and that's what matters most to me. Friend, I'm telling you something, I'm not the poorest in the land. Matter of fact, I got some money. If you need some, I'll share some. But friend, let me just say this, I may not have it all, but I've got the God again who had it all. He said the poor man cried, the Lord heard him, saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him and delivereth them. You ain't got to fight for yourself. I've got to do the fighting for you. Again, the story I told you about the missionary that they come to, and they told the missionary, you got until tomorrow to get out of here. And if you're not out of here, we're going to come and we're going to take your family and you. We're going to kill you all. And so they're praying there. They wasn't going to leave. And so they watched all night long, and the army that was gathered around outside on every side of them stayed out there all night long. They never come to the house one bit. The next morning, the leader comes up and he talks to the man, the missionary. The missionary said, why didn't you come and do what you said? He goes, I just want to know something. He said, who was that army around your house last night? I'm telling you something, church. Daniel had the angel of the Lord at the lion's mouth. The three Hebrew children had Jesus in the fiery furnace. We see the testimonies of all that God has done, and it's no different with you and I. It's just a difference of whether or not we'll look at what God is doing. I'm telling you something tonight, church. The more I think about it, the more I realize I'm blessed beyond measure. I'm blessed beyond thought. I don't have an understanding of the blessings that I have. And I ought to just say this tonight, praise be to God for the blessings of God on this old poor, wretched, miserable sinner who was once lost, dying, going to the devil's hell, but God delivered him through the blood of Jesus Christ, set me up and blessed me. He blessed me. Verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm telling you what, I like tasting. God is good, church. God is good. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Ye young lion do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Friend, and how we could teach our children the fear of the Lord so they'd have an understanding of what it is to be blessed in the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? Think about it just a little bit. He said, oh, fear the Lord, all ye, fear the Lord, ye his saints. There is no want to them that fear him. Remember what I said this morning? I've got everything that I need. And when I stop and I just think about it there, and I think about what God wants me to have, my friend, my wants change. My desires change. There's things that change in me. And I'll just say this, I know that the old devil wants us to want things of the world, but God wants us to want spiritual things. God wants us to want Him, to seek Him, and to hearken unto Him. And so there is no lack, friend. There is no want to them that fear Him. The young lion lack and suffereth hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. My Heavenly Father gives me all good things. God never gave me anything bad. He ain't never gave me anything bad. I'll guarantee you tonight that, church, I'll just say it this way. Let me say something to you tonight. I was thinking about this week. And this is the truth, and it just amazes me. I remember starting out in the ministry. I remember the first church that I went to and pastored there. And I can tell you this, I was just surprised at how good God was to me and how wonderful the people were to me. I couldn't have hit a better first church. Just tell you, there's no way to have had one any better than the church that I had for my first church. And it was the deacons there were old and wise. They'd been around the block, so to say. And they looked at me and they said, "Brother Arnie, we've got a problem." I said, "Okay." And they told me what it was. And I said, "Well," I said, "I'll tell you what." I said, "You've been in the way longer than I have. What do you want to do?" They looked at me and they said, "You're the pastor. What do you want to do?" I'm going to tell you something. That meant something to me. Amen. They was willing to listen. And so we talked about it and it came about and we did everything. And it was the right decision that we made. And I say we made because I told them and they agreed. And let me just say this, if they'd have disagreed, I know they'd have disagreed, they'd have told me. But then they told me, they said, "Brother Ernie," said, "we want you to understand something. You may be young, but we believe God puts you here and wants you here. And we're supposed to follow." That made all the difference in the world. When I left that church, I'll be honest with you, I didn't really want to, but God had me going places preparing me. And I had to go to a church where there was not so good of people. And the deacons wasn't so nice. And things fell apart in a hurry. And I asked God why I even went there. What happened? Why it was? And God said, "I've got another place for you to go." So we went to the next place. And I went there and I thought to myself, "Lord, this is not what you want for me. It's what I wanted, but it's not what you wanted for me." And we was there for a little while, and we left there and we went somewhere else. And we was there for a little a while there. And then we found out the same situation there. You can't always trust in people. It wasn't long and we realized that we need to be somewhere else. And we left and we were somewhere else. And I'll tell you something, the average Free Will Baptist preacher is in a church for two and a half to three years. That's how long they last. And I thought to myself, "Lord, I don't want to be one of those pastors. I don't want to be a short timer. God, you got to help me out here." And our next church was almost 5 years. And I didn't want to leave that church. But do you realize I had to leave that church to get out for a year and prepare for a year so that I could be here for 14 plus years. I never thought that I'd be anywhere that long. But it seems like just yesterday sometimes. And you know the story too, right? Sometimes it seems like more than yesterday. Sometimes we wonder how much longer, but on the same hand, we know this, that when God is doing what God wants to do, and we're following the way God wants to follow, God's got a promise for us. And listen to me tonight, I'll say this, sometimes we lack and we suffer because we're not following and seeking the Lord that we ought to. But if we'll follow and seek the Lord we ought to, then we'll want for no good thing. In other words, it's all going to be there. He said, "Come, children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." If we just do these things, God's going to move. God's going to bless. I don't think, and I've said it before, I'll say it again tonight, I don't think God is done with us here. I don't feel like God is done with me here. There's sometimes I felt like God could give you somebody better than me, but I've never felt like God wanted me to leave. And I'll just say it again, I don't think God wants me to leave now. But let me say you something, when God tells me it's time to go, friend, I got to learn how not to argue with God and do what He says, because that means He's got something else for you. But right
now, I'll be honest with you, I'm thinking about how long I have to wait to retire in order to be down here full time. And let me just say it this way. I did some research the other day. If God will keep working the way He's working, leading the way He's leading, it might be sooner rather than later. You say, Brother Ernie, what are you talking about? I was talking to my wife about something. She said, do you think you'll be there that long? And she wasn't talking about the church. She was talking about work. See, God's got a way of doing things. God's got a way of doing things. And church, we just got to trust in Him. Psalms 89, thou hast a mighty arm. Talking about God. Strong is thy hand. High is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are habitations of thy throne. Psalms 89, verse 13, by the way. Going on now in verse 14. Justice and judgment are the inhabitations of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Now listen to this. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. But friend, what is the joyful sound? Hey, it's the arms of Jesus. It's the loving arm. Hey, there's no sweeter voice than the voice of God. I remember the song we sing, I come to the garden alone. Why? The deer is still on the lily. And then we sing, because what? He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I'm His own. God is communicating with us. You can go to God, and I'm telling you tonight, church, a friend, people say, God don't talk like that. Listen to me. You call it God, you call it Jesus, you call it the Holy Ghost. They're all three the same. They're one. But I know this for a fact, that there are times when the sweet, still voice of God whispers to me peace. There's other times when the angry voice of God tells me, get it straightened up. There's other times the voice of God and joy says, keep on going there. There's just times when I know that God is talking to me, and I understand that because of this, friend, and I know that if we'll just rejoice in the joyful sound and walk in the Lord, that He'll lead us in the right way. He said, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horns shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. You cannot have a better defender, and you cannot have a better king. I'll guarantee you that tonight. Psalms 12, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. You know what, church, I'm going to say something. How many of you ever read the Bible and started to argue with it? I mean, just to be honest. Well, Lord, that ain't right. Who are you and I to tell God He ain't right? But I've done it. Lord, that ain't right. Look what he said. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. You know what happens when you get a clean heart and a new mind? You look at the commandments of God. You look at His Word. You begin to go, wow. God, you set that up to protect me. You set that up to lead me. God, you was trying to take questions out of my mind. You was trying to help me get past the enemy. Lord, there are things that you've done there that I can't comprehend, but I know this, it was all for my good. Amen. And we look at it like that. Psalms 94, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. Oh, friend, we don't like that, do we? But blessed is the man, the Bible said, whom God does love, He does rebuke and chasten. I'm glad tonight. Blessed is the man in whom the Lord chasteneth. Oh Lord, and teaches him out of thy law. God instructs us through His Word. And then the last one again, Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, who and whose hope the Lord is. Now look at that very carefully, right? Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Where's your trust? It's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're blessed when it's there. And then he says, whose hope the Lord is. Who's your hope? Who's your hope? Remember, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. But my hope in Christ Jesus is not in this life only, but it's in that life which is yet to come. Therein is the joy of the Lord fulfilled, and that we one day will be with Him. Amen. I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm grateful tonight. I'll tell you something. Some people may look at you, some people may look at me, and they say, oh, look, you ain't got this, and you ain't got that, and this and stuff, and one thing and the other. You just look at them and say, you know what? What I got, you can't see. And that makes me blessed. If all you look at is what I've got, you don't see my real blessings. You saying, Brother Ernie, you don't feel like your house is a blessing? No, my house is a blessing. You know what would be a bigger blessing? When it's paid off. Yeah. I ain't going to lie about it. But my car is a blessing. My truck's a blessing. You know, the tools I've got at my house I can woodwork with, they're blessings. My wife is a blessing. My children are a blessing. My church is a blessing. But the greatest blessing I've got is God Almighty. Jesus Christ, my Savior, and the Holy Ghost living in my life. And you can't get any better blessings than that. And when you realize that, church, people will look around and they say, boy, you don't got much. You say, you're looking for the wrong blessings. Open your eyes and see the truth. I got blessings all around me. I'm thankful tonight for all God's done for me. Pray God blesses you, keep you, strengthen you. Would you stand with us this evening? Father, tonight we come before you, Lord, and we're grateful. We're thankful, dear God, for the many blessings you give us, Lord. Thankful, Father, tonight as we read in your word, we're assured, dear God, and we see, dear God, that we are blessed. Father, greatly blessed, wonderfully blessed. Lord, for that tonight, I'm thankful. Lord, I pray tonight, be with those unable to be with us tonight. Speak to their hearts too, dear God. Father, I pray, Lord, help us to be a blessing to those round about us. And Lord, this evening I pray if there be something in anybody's heart tonight, any need, dear God, present, Lord. Father, that need would be met according to your will, your plan, and your purpose for their lives. And we'll give you glory, honor, Father. We'll give you praise in Jesus' blessed, righteous, and holy name. And amen. And amen. Anything, any